He is risen. Thank you. Thank you. I am grateful for that testimony. It is a living testimony in each one of us, and one that all of us encountered last week on Easter morning. You may have been at the early service, which is 8 o'clock last week, and not have as many of the children that were present during the 9:30 and 11 o'clock service. But I have to tell you, Easter morning for me was an exhilarating morning for me. It began first with that incredible mockingbird outside my window. You see, I was mourning the fact that we were no longer living on the river where all of life teemed with the fish jumping in the water and making big splashes and the birds everywhere flying low across the water and all of the singing. And yet Easter morning, for the first time, through my window, I heard Christ singing through this little mockingbird 100 different tunes, none of it being repeated, but all of it awakening me to the spirit of Christ within me. And then as the day progressed, the morning progressed, I was awakened to Christ's presence in the little children, in grandparents, and everyone who had fellowship, who stood in line to attend to the prayer wall, all of the places where we enjoyed celebrating Easter together in this community. I particularly enjoyed watching all of the shenanigans going on as folks were standing at the flowers of the cross to have their family pictures taken, and people with little children and babies, they would have someone staged behind the camera making goofy faces and everything, playing peekaboo, you know, like this, to create that element of surprise in little babies. It reminded me of times that I had done that with my own children and the times that we had played hide and seek. You see, babies get so engaged in this game of peekaboo, rediscovering and becoming overjoyed within seconds, just like that, because they are ready to be joined again to that that is so familiar, that embrace that never lets them go. And that, I think, is what awakens us in that split moment of peekaboo, when that child also reveals to us this instant joy, this instant connection. And we become alive ourselves in just a simple game of peekaboo. I remember the games of hide and seek that I played with my children and now enjoy playing with my grandchildren. Seconds turn into just a few more seconds and possibly a minute or two as I'm doing the countdown of 10. Remember, we say we're going to count to 10 and everybody has to be hidden at that point, and then we will come and find you. But it seems like before we even get to 8, right, all of a sudden the child comes from their hiding places and announces, "Here I am! Here I am!" And we haven't even had to go and seek. They just appeared. But it's a time where we are separated, they're very short, and they begin to find the freedom in finding their space of getaway. And then as youth, we play those games of hide and seek. Sometimes as parents, we don't like it very much because we spend a lot of time seeking and wondering where they're hiding. But I remember many games of paintball and those laser lights at night, and how those minutes increased to hours, and sometimes I just wondered if we would ever find each other and return to home base. Then there is that adult life where we're not playing so many games, and hide and seek is no longer something we enjoy, because all of the responsibilities of life, all of the commitments that we make, turns more into a search for meaning and purpose. We've learned to hide to escape our realities when we're adults. We want to shut out the noise. We want to hide our shame. We want to hide our secrets, and sometimes we long for that time out. We find ourselves sometimes overwhelmed with fear because we are locked in or locked up or locked out. And then as we mature in age, and I mean chronologically in number, right? I'm trying not to say when we get really old, but it does happen, doesn't it? We get to return to that game of hide and seek. Let's see, now, where did I leave those keys to my car? Oh, heavens to Betsy, where did I leave my car? Well, the Clairol bottle will tell you that there's a lot of gray in my hair, and I spent last night covering it up because these lights really are unjust to gray hairs and bald heads. But I found myself this week almost climbing into someone else's white car because in Florida, everybody drives a white car. I had totally forgotten where I'd left my car. Sometimes I even forget where I've left my glasses, and I soon discover they're still sitting on top of my gray hair covered with Clairol. In our text this morning, life is no longer a game of hide and seek, but a real reality. But we have learned that Jesus is not barred from locked doors, nor is Jesus unaware of knowing those hidden places where we reside. For in this incredible, pivotal moment in John's gospel, we see this revelation of truth that is life-changing for us today and long into our futures when we are long gone. Jesus makes his risen presence known in the appearing to his followers. They're huddled together in this darkness behind a locked door. And they had good reason to be afraid. You see, the Jewish authorities had persecuted Jesus. They had been caught up in this whirlwind of an experience in those days. And it would have been so overwhelming to you and me had we been experiencing such trials and tribulations. Rumors about their association with this Jesus surely were going around. Were they going to be next? I wonder, had they come together as they often had times and times before, staying with each other, which was their custom, as a gathered assembly in a familiar place of comfort and peace and assurance, to search for meaning and purpose, to pray together, to strive to understand God's relationship with them and their relationship to one another and their witness to the world, to remind one another of God's faithfulness and God's unconditional love and grace upon grace upon grace, as John's gospel proclaims. And they would gather, not only to experience and share their joys, but to come together in their times of grief. And this was definitely one of those times. Jesus did appear, and he stood in their gathering. He joined them where two or three are gathered in his name, even though their faith was weak in the moment. And they were tired and weary in body, spirit, and mind. And the world was telling them a different story about this one that they had followed so closely and given their lives to. His appearance among them through the door that was locked shut symbolized the fulfillment of promises made by Jesus as he poured out his heart and soul to them in his farewell discourse. If you haven't ever had the opportunity to read the Gospel of John, I would invite you to take it and sit down and feast upon it. You will find numerous chapters. There's about 5 or 6 chapters where Jesus goes on and on and on, pouring out his spirit of wisdom and truth and unconditional love in hopes that they might gain some glimpse of understanding, maybe just those peekaboo moments of seeing the Christ within them, the Christ that would carry them through their own periods of suffering and trials and even death to experience new life anew. His salutation of peace, though familiar to his disciples, had deep meaning for them now. This time, his words of peace fulfilled the promises of peace that the world couldn't possibly give. A peace that embodied the fullness of the risen Christ, reconciling them and restoring them to new life of freedom an everlasting hope. New life that awakened them to this harmonious union with God and with Christ, empowered and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This dance, as we've referred to often, this gift of peace, freed them from self-imposed prisons of shame, of doubt, of bitterness, of the resentment, and even hate. Those things that tend to be what we go to next in our thoughts when life becomes so threatening to us and we feel the breath of life being sucked away from us. Jesus, showing them his hands and his side, became proof of God's resurrecting power, symbolizing the fulfillment of Jesus' promise through his own suffering and death to abide with us through our own sufferings and death. His breathing upon them, that also proved his resurrected life. And it symbolized the fulfillment of his promise of a new, purpose-filled, fruit-producing, abundant life we could have in the here and now. It symbolized the birth of the church. This was and is for us today the same breath that breathed life into all creation and into humanity from the beginning of time. The same breath was the breath of life that breathed into dry bones in the Ezekiel story, causing life to come alive and to be exhilarating and full and free again, and to bear witness to the world of God's unconditional love and abounding grace. Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling in them fulfilled the promise of the sending of another comforter and a companion that would abide with them and in them, just as the Father and Jesus abide in this union of oneness, always awakening to an ever-knowing and inner dwelling, an assurance that we are loved unconditionally by God. The whole of John's gospel points to this pivotal moment behind locked doors, to Jesus' power and the gifting of the Holy Spirit to find us in whatever circumstance we are in, whatever place that we abide, whether it is a place full of light or a place full of darkness, whether a place where we find freedom in knowing God, or whether it's a place that we are bound by the fear that resides within us. Jesus' commissioning of the disciples symbolized the co-partnership in Christ's mission to carry on the building of the new kingdom of God. Having recognized the risen Christ and receiving the gift of Christ's Spirit within them, their sorrow and fear being locked doors changed into complete joy, complete confidence. They embodied the living words of Christ from the cross: pardon, forgiveness, assurance, trust, suffering, victory, and amazing hope. As a community of faith, sometimes reflecting God's light and love in the world, yet sometimes burdened with anxiety and doubt, messy life, chaotic disorder, character defects. We, you and I, together, we are called to come and stand among those and others who are locked up, locked in, locked out. Those who are overwhelmed by a spirit of fear that is life draining, life threatening, life barren. So that the spirit that is in us can bear witness to the spirit that is in them at work, so that our words and our actions of Christ crucified and risen become the resurrecting power within their lives, making all things new, awakening within them the spirit of power and love that resides in them, that gives us that sense of sound mind, the mind and heart of Christ. In our 9:30 service this morning, as a community of faith, we will be receiving new members into our faith community, Larry and Barbara Meeks. They are transferring from another membership within the United Methodist Church to our community of faith. Their yes to God's unconditional love and grace at work in their own life stories takes on new meaning and purpose for our community today. It's the beginning of their commitment to supporting this community with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their own testimony to God's goodness and God's faithfulness in their lives. And it's an opportunity for us at 9:30, but also now, because I'm telling you about it, for us to recall our own yes to God's presence and awakening in our own lives and reaffirming our commitment with each other today. Today will also be our response to God's love and grace as we affirm collectively, Lord, send me. As we'll commission our mission team who will be going to Puerto Rico to do some rebuilding and restructuring as a result of the hurricanes of the past year. Christ calls all of us to be God's agents, and in this case, construction workers in the kingdom of God, equipping us with the indwelling of his Spirit to see the things that God is doing in us, that God is doing in the world, and then to join in that transforming work. The sandwiched of our community of faith and the work that we are doing today in worship together as we have gathered to do like the disciples did when they gathered, to remember the steadfast love and grace of God at work in us, to remember that God never forgets us, God never abandons us or forsakes us, to remember those promises that Jesus taught his disciples become that full reality in our own lives today. So sandwiched in that, along with the new membership and the commissioning of some of our folks to the mission field, are on the outsides within, on the outsides, two celebrations of life. One yesterday that we participated in and one that will follow our services today. There we will announce those promises that Christ gave that become our reality. That Jesus goes before us, preparing a place for us. That Jesus tells us to trust in God. That God is faithful. And not only has God prepared a place, but that he comes and abides with us in our suffering and in our sorrow. That joy will only last for the night. Then in the morning, that pain only lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm grateful for our community of faith that opens its minds and its hearts, that opens its doors, that unlocks those doors, those places of resistance or those places of fear, that we might be for the world Christ. And that as we go, we might discover Christ in all things, Christ beautiful and alive, whether it's in a mockingbird outside your window or it's in something that you experience on a walk on the beach. It might be in the communion of fellowship you have over breakfast or brunch today. It might be in the places that you serve or in your prayer life or visiting the prayer wall and taking another prayer, as Martha has presented today. There are plenty of opportunities for us to discover the risen Christ, not only as community, but in our own individual lives. We are in this walk of life together. Christ has risen in you, and Christ has risen in me indeed. We are gifted God's Spirit, and we are sent out. May it be so for us today. Where might us, as the body of Christ, minister to you and help you experience this unconditional love of God and this grace that Christ offers by the presence of his Spirit? How can we help grow you in your faith journey? How might we together come and celebrate this wonderful experience of Christ you have in your life? so that you might be invited to share your story of where Christ has come and centered Christ's self in you and made a difference in your life. Someone needs to hear your story of the risen Christ in you today. Take that bold, courageous leap of faith. You are loved. You are restored. You are made new. Christ abides in you. Let us pray. O God, may it be so. May the Christ who appeared behind locked doors into a place where disciples resided in fear, fear that was well founded, be that same restorative spirit that comes and dwells in us, making all things new. Give us that grace and peace that knows that we or have received the power to do the things of Christ, even greater as Christ promised, even greater than Christ was able to do. That blows our minds. And yet, God, that's your greatest intention, is to awaken us to that power within, not limited by our own ability, because Christ also said we can't do this on our own. Without resurrection and the indwelling of your Spirit, we are nothing and we can do nothing in your name. So God, come, dwell within us. Awaken us to your presence and all the beauty of creation that sings, "You are risen indeed." In Christ's name, we pray.